truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
The fact of the matter is, the lawyers in the Justice Department who gave us those opinions.
I think all my whole family's dead.
Okay, tell me what's going on, sir. What?
I just got home from... I was out last night.
Since Barack Obama thinks it's okay to use a salty solution...
When I look at, like, the police reports or I hear about the police reports, I don't know what to think. I just
Bill
don't
know. Bill O'Reilly
is a closet homosexual. World famous Phil Hendry Show till 1 a.m. on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Welcome back to the program here on the 31st of August. Tomorrow is the 1st of September, and it's my birthday, and I don't care. Believe me, I don't care. I'm saying it out loud, though, because I know a lot of people care, and I don't mean necessarily listeners. I know people in my life, you know, family, and, oh, it's your birthday. And I'm, you know, thank you very much, and... Oh, you just don't care about it because you're getting older. No, if you recall, I haven't cared really much about my birthday since I was a kid, which is when you got all those presents. But then birthdays, I've got nothing against them. I just think that, you know, in many ways, ladies and gentlemen, if I may be philosophical here at a moment, just at a moment's notice here, just be philosophical for a moment. In many ways, a birthday is irrelevant because we're reborn again many times, are we not? Yes, and will you turn that off?
No, it's poignant.
Yeah, really poignant. Turn the music. Anyway, I don't know when my spiritual birthday is. You know, that's what I'm really down with that. Yeah, sure. Anyway, welcome back to our show. The number is 877-876-PHIL. And we may or may not have an interview with As You Like to Hear Them, and As You Like to Hear Them guest this evening, because Bud wanted to line up Ted Kennedy, and the poor man is dead, and that would be kind of difficult, wouldn't it, Bud?
Yeah, but you're making it up.
I know I'm making it up, man, but the cat's dead. What, are we going to be talking to him from beyond? Give me a break, huh?
Yeah, well, that'd be kind of cool, though.
Yeah, okay, you got to yell everything?
Yeah, because I'm on the other side of the room.
Well, then move over here so I can talk to you. All right, coming up...
Well, wait a minute.
Not that close to the mic, you idiot.
All right.
All right, so what we had here is this pastor. You know, keep in mind what we talked to you about last hour. This is a very, very important thing. Remember the two axioms. A, Republicans and Democrats would rather see the country burn to the ground, burn in a holocaust of atomic flame, than see the Republican or the Democratic parties end in any way, shape, or form. And number two, the talking heads on TV and the talking talkers on talk radio are more likely to lie to you than a politician. Now, having said all that, it is equally true, folks. Just because a guy's on television and his name may be Bill O'Reilly or Keith Obersturmfuhrer or David, Kermit Schuster or whoever, they're not alone in their effort at gaining an audience. They're not alone at attempting to do enough of a soft shoe and a tap dance and a song and snappy sayings and witty poems and things to try to get people, you know, crowded around a tent. They're not alone. There's another group of people that you're very familiar with, and those are called dun, 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 pastors, the religious. The religious preacher is also an entertainer, also a performer, and some of my favorite performers have been and may currently be religious types, preachers, television, televangelists, this kind of thing. Who can deny that Gene Scott, as he sits there with his cigar and his strippers and he has his big chalkboard, who can deny that that guy isn't entertaining? Who can deny that O.L. Jaggers, when he stood there in his purple robe and he had that valve with the holy oil that came out, you gotta love him. Who can deny that Oral Roberts, who said he saw a 900-foot Jesus, telling him to do this or that? The 900-foot Jesus image was so cool, a band named itself that.
Really?
Yeah, you never heard 900-foot Jesus. It was an actual band, I don't know. Who can deny that Tammy Faye Baker, Jim Baker, and the like were in their own way very entertaining to watch? Who can deny that Jimmy Swaggart, the only man to cry after he actually got laid, as opposed to crying because he didn't get laid? Jimmy Swaggart broke all records with that one. Who can deny that in his way he was an entertaining guy? And so it goes, and that's why they make all that money. They make all of that money because they're compelling, because, okay, perhaps different from other entertainers, they make money from people who actually believe what they're selling, as opposed to the rest of us who watch them because we think they're very fascinating to watch, you know. And I got to tell you, I also admire their ability to weave a tale, to shuck and jive, to manipulate the manipulatable, to jive the jive-ass, to jive the jive-y, as it were. They are the jive-or. I admire that. So when I hear about a guy in Arizona, just another run-of-the-mill punk, some guy with a turned-around collar and some dust-blown chapel someplace out in the middle of God knows where in Arizona. Oh, you mean it's in Tempe? Never mind. Well, that is kind of God knows where.
It ain't Phoenix.
That's what they always say about Tempe. It ain't Phoenix. No. When he's in the middle, you know, look at Arizona is a desert with the exception of a few places. Let me put it that way. When I hear about a guy like this, I got to say, you know, I want to go. I want to sit and listen to this cat. You saw that There Will Be Blood. Remember we saw that the other night?
That guy was great all about, you know, get out of her. Get away from her.
No, man, he didn't say that. He said, get out. Get out. That was the preacher, yeah. And when he smacked around Daniel Day-Lewis and said, you know, you got to accept God.
That was bitching.
That guy was one of those kinds of cats, you know, one of those preachers out in the middle of tumbleweed country, you know, and the old lady, and she's got the windburned face, and she comes in with a shawl on, and she's got arthritis, and he puts his hands on her, and then he puts his hands in her wallet, and then he puts his hands in her. Anyway, the sermon at an East Valley church, some of these sermons, I should say, these sermons are stirring controversy and for some causing alarm. Pastor Stephen Anderson says he's a man of God, but some are horrified at what he's preaching. Anderson is standing by a controversial sermon entitled, Why I Hate Barack Obama. Video of the sermon has hit YouTube, and he's been explaining why he hates the president and praying for his death. Now, I could easily rewrite those first lines, folks, the following way. Pastor Stephen Anderson, realizing that his church is on the ropes, decided on a new idea and has hit on something quite revolutionary. He's decided to go after Barack Obama. Not that that's revolutionary, but for a preacher to say he hates the President of the United States and wants him to have cancer, it's pretty groundbreaking. Why has he done this? Because the donations and the donation plate have dried up. I mean, the guy is on his ass, so's the church. They got to figure out something. They've got to figure out some way, somehow, to get people in and get their asses in the seats there. Preachers, like, oh, any other kind of performer, a juggler, a singer, a dancer, a rock band, they got to do something, man, to spice up the act a little bit. Anderson is standing by this controversial sermon. Sunday at church, Anderson told Fox 10, the local Phoenix television station, I hope that God strikes Barack Obama with brain cancer so he can die like Ted Kennedy, and I hope it happens today. Well, that's about as direct and as, I'm going to tell you, that's a winning combination right there. Anderson's continuing to encourage his parishioners to pray for the president's death, but says he doesn't condone killing. See, if you kill somebody by praying to God, you're not really killing. God's killing them. You're just asking God to do the work for you. In which sense, you know, always blame God, no matter what. If you're a schizophrenic and you go out and you machine gun a bunch of people, you tell them that God told you to do it. It's God's fault. You always have that to fall back on. Don't worry about it. Let's listen now, though. In a sermon which is titled Why I Hate Barack Obama, that was delivered before President Obama's town hall meeting in Phoenix, Pastor Stephen Anderson prays for the president's death.
I'm supposed to pray for the socialist devil, murderer, infanticide, who wants to see young children, and he wants to see babies killed through abortion and partial birth and all these other things. You're going to tell me I'm supposed to pray for God to give him a good lunch tomorrow while he's in Phoenix, Arizona? Nope. I'm not going to pray for his good. I'm going to pray that he dies and goes to hell. When I go to bed tonight, that's what I'm going to pray. You say, are you just saying that? No. When I go to bed tonight, Stephen L. Anderson is going to pray for Barack Obama to die and go to hell.
Now, that guy is saying that because, number one, he wants to make a splash. I believe he believes that it's biblically sound, too, because you know he's going to be asked the question, well, where in the Bible do you see this? And he's going to have about 900 different passages. You know, whatever you believe, there's something in the Bible to back it up. If you believe in making love to chickens, there's something in the Bible to back it up. If you believe in making love to other men and other women, you know, members of the same sex, there's something in the Bible that will back that up, too.
Yeah, where? Are you kidding me or something?
I'll bet you there's something in there.
Yo, you gotta be a specific about it.
A specific?
Yeah. Where's your specificity?
Oh, well, you idiots. I'm not going to cite a passage, man. There's got to be something in there. All right, here is Anderson. Why do you ask me these questions for? Anyway, here is Anderson, he could be Representative Anderson. We'll call him Pastor Anderson. Here he is in the same sermon. The pastor explains again that he wants to see Obama die because of his stance on abortion.
Since Barack Obama thinks it's okay to use a salty solution, right,
uh-huh.
to abort the unborn.
All right.
Because that's how abortions are done.
Woo!
Right? Using salt.
Really?
Right, saline solution.
They put on peanuts too, man.
Abortion, one of the most commonly used ways in America today, is this injection of a saline solution, and the embryo melts like a snail. And I'd like to see Barack Obama melt like a snail tonight.
Now, here you...
he needs now, to recompense what he has shown. He has spent a life of being pro-abortion.
Now,
he has voted on legislation
but,
to not only kill the unborn, but to kill the newborn.
Now, in an interview yesterday with Fox 10 in Phoenix, the pastor wishes cancer on the president. This is a compilation of excerpts edited into one longer piece. This is Anderson talking to Fox 10's probably some really hot-looking blonde, and he went, "I have to tell you." And by the way, he also admitted to having masturbated frequently. Then we'll hear from two protesters who speak out against the pastor. And they're probably advertisers that weren't able to get in on some of the good rates on his show. So here he is.
I hope that God strikes Barack Obama with brain cancer so he can die like Ted Kennedy. You know, and I hope it happens today. I will not take the law into my own hands. I will not take up any arms. It's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual warfare. Look up the word hate. Look up the word abhor. Look up the word loathe. And you'll see that there are a lot of people who God hates and who we should hate. But, see, I didn't write that. That's in the Bible.
Yeah. Well, all right. And you have to believe it if it's in the Bible, even if it doesn't make any sense, right? Especially coming out of your trap there, Rev. Anyway, here are two protesters speaking out against the pastor to Fox 10 in Phoenix.
A pastor, a man of the cloth, doesn't condone assassinating people. And that's the reason. He's not a pastor. He's a pastor.
I find it incomprehensible.
Pastored?
And say they believe in the message of Jesus and preach hate.
All right, well, there they are, and that is the pastor in Phoenix. And again, this is no different, really, folks, from somebody who is trying to find a message, trying to find a way to cut through in this electronic, in this very high speed, in this rapid, in this fiber optic speed age of communication information, where there are many, many voices and a great many of them, climbing on top of the other to get heard. That's a great way to be heard. The finesse of the artful entertainer. Where you engage your audience with artful thinking and with ideas and humor that engages the audience and at the same time makes them think and leaves them with a sense of having been entertained and maybe seeing the eyes through someone similar to themselves, that is the performer. That is now competing with the age of the kid sitting there, as we've often said, banging a stick on a garbage can lid, because that's what that is. It's just being really loud. It's like just getting up at 2 a.m. and turning your stereo on full blast. You will get attention. People will know who you are. They'll want to kill you, but people will know who you are. That's the risk that this guy, Reverend Stevenson, is running, and he's very happy to do that because look at us. We're talking about it, okay? But he's no different, in my opinion, than anybody else on television, and that includes the weatherman. All right, look at these fires, man. Southern California once again getting nailed. We've got them throughout, and we'll try to update you on some of these. We had our engineers here today doing our studio, and at the same time, they had to make runs to Mount Wilson just in case, the broadcast tower is going to burn to the ground. Remember that?
Yeah, they need to go up there and fight the fire, make sure the stick doesn't fall.
I think the sticks are still standing, though, baby. The number 877-876-PHIL, we've got news coming up. We've got phone calls coming up, and the news of... Miss California is still in the news, and she still ain't gay, and she still doesn't like gays, and she's going to sue because of the whole gay thing. It's just gay. She's a gay and happy girl, and we'll talk about that. Coming up next, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry.
I mean, understand, we're talking about Reverend Stevenson there in Phoenix, and he wishes Obama got cancer. Do I dislike the guy? No. Do I think he's boring? No. Is he entertaining? Yes.
I hope that God strikes Barack Obama with brain cancer so he can die like Ted Kennedy.
I mean, that's almost the punchline to a joke. And if you think about it, it's outrageous. Yes, it is. But if you see it for what it is, which is almost, it's, dare I use the term punk rock? Forgive me, but it's a sort of an extreme kind of performance art. And it's meaningless unless you look at the context. It's kind of a guy trying to attract people to his church. He's trying to make money. Is it hate speech? Well, here is Reverend Manning from New York. You remember Reverend Manning? We had him on the show. And actually, we think he's a little funnier than Reverend Stevenson.
The way the Negro people are turning against Hillary and Bill Clinton these days.
No, wait a second. That's not. Here it is.
Obama's mama was trash.
Thank you. Now, anyway.
Oh, that's racist.
That's a black guy saying it. How's that racist?
Well.
Yeah. They're both equally funny, although you have to say that Manning, at least he ain't saying go out and get brain cancer. I don't know how one goes out and gets brain cancer, and that's not what Stevenson said, but you get the idea. You get the general idea. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Here is Dave in Phoenix. Dave, what's going on tonight?
Well, this pastor is a ding-dong. He is the same guy that, when he was coming back from Mexico several times, got stopped by the Border Patrol, and then he tried to make it look as though they had
beaten him up. Yes. Is this the same guy?
Yeah.
This is the same guy. Yeah. Yep.
And then one of his parishioners was at the Obama appearance last week here in Phoenix carrying the civilian equivalent of an M16 and a Glock on his hip.
No kidding. That was one of those Second Amendment guys. I got
yeah,
you.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And the guy said on TV that, I moved to Tempe so I could be closer to the church. So they're all a bunch of nutcakes.
This guy, this Stevenson, now you remind me, because I saw that speech he gave about getting hassled by Border Patrol, and it was part of a larger anti-immigrant or anti-immigration legislative effort. And he was given a little bit of credibility and sort of certified, because I think this thing was sponsored by Mike Huckabee, or at least it was on Huckabee's show. So I would say to Mike Huckabee, he ain't a bad guy. You know, I know he's a conservative, but he doesn't want to be associated with a fruitcake like this.
This guy's totally out of his mind, and you're right. He's just trying to get some publicity, and he's getting it. You got him. You're talking about him.
You're right. But I got to, you know. I mean, it's the same thing, though. You know what? It's the same thing with the Phelps Church. You know, well, we had Shirley Phelps on a show a few times. I thought she was funny. Now their act is really old because God hates fags. Yeah, God hates fags. Right. And I thought, well, they were funny for about 5 minutes, but they haven't changed their act up at all. It's still the same kind of just, it's starting to get, I don't know, it's just wearing thin. So you got to start moving it around a little bit, you know. Well, anyway, David, thank you for that.
My opinion about this pastor is that I'm a Christian, and there's nowhere in the Bible that tells me to hate anybody. And I think at the end, God is going to take care of this fellow.
Yeah. I think if we look at him for what he is, a clown, and if he makes a good living, then who knows, you know?
He's not making a good living. I mean, he's got a tiny little church. I bet he doesn't have 100 people.
Well, all right, man. We'll see. Maybe they're going to start packing him in after this one. Thanks, Dave, for your call. Find himself with a few more people. I think he's going to have a couple of more dollars. Now, the question that remains is, how come we have no rabbis that talk like this? And some of you rabbis need to start taking a page out of the books of these cats, because I don't know. Anyway, 877.
What about them Chabad people?
What do you mean the Chabad people?
Yeah, they're all dancing around looking like a nut.
But they're not talking about cats getting cancer, man. Those Chabad guys are trying to cure people of cancer, ain't they?
No, man, it's drug addiction.
Well, whatever, they're trying to get people. Anyway, rabbis need to start, rabbis, I think, have to step forward and take their place among the nuts. And who else? Oh, we'll figure a few. How about Catholic priests? You know, there's not enough. Anyway, 877-876-PHIL is the number here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. As you like to hear them coming up. All right, so we got Ted Kennedy. Is that it?
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Ted Kennedy coming up next.
From the grave.
I ain't saying from the grave. Do you understand?
All right. from the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, okay. Ted Kennedy from the Twilight Zone is coming up next here on a world-famous Phil Henry Show, as you like to hear them in our usual interview once a week. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Bone fragment found next to kidnap home. Holy God, this poor child that was kidnapped for God knows how many years. We'll give you more insight on that. And the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Phil is our number, but first, time now for our As You Like to Hear Them segment. This is where we interview a person of note, a celebrity, a newsmaker, a big shot, somebody who's big in the headlines, big time, and in this instance, he's big and he's not with us any longer.
Yeah, he's dead.
Thank you, bud, okay? You said that 85 times now, man.
I don't know he's dead. Anyway, you know.
Great. Yes, he's dead. Ted Kennedy joins us here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We're going to be talking with the Senator here about a number of different things, many of which, of course, have been in the news. I guess the big thing that's been in the news is the fact that this guy died. It's the only way that I can put it. Senator Kennedy, thank you for being with us, sir. How are you?
How am I?
Senator, are you there?
I was here, but I think I'm here. Am I here? Yeah, I'm here.
What do you mean you think you're here?
I'm here, okay.
Okay, anyway, thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
I'm dead. So how do you figure I'm doing? No, I feel good. I feel right. But I got to tell you that the comment that you made.
Walking around, starts naked.
What is that?
That's you watching television.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I'm dead and I'm watching TV.
Yeah, wherever you are, you're watching. Just never mind.
All right. I have to tell you, Phil, the comment that was made about Mary Jo Kopechne, a lot of people have made the comment, was her death worth it?
Now, what do you mean a lot of people have made the comment?
Well, this one, not broad, but this one woman wrote for the Huffington Post that maybe Mary Jo Kopechne's death was worth it because I had such a great career as a senator and her dying sort of, got me going.
That's funny. I don't think of her dying got you going.
Well, a lot of people, I was in the news a lot. It sort of polarized people when she, unfortunately, was not able to get out of the car the way I was able to get out of the car. You know what I'm talking about, right?
No, I don't.
What I'm saying is the following. She is dead, but then I am too. So isn't it all coming out in the wash?
No, I don't know that it comes out in the wash. She died as a young woman. You went on to become a senator. I don't want to argue this point with you, Senator. I mean, everybody knows what happened. Everybody knows that your behavior on that particular day was very weird. This Lasky and others who say that, well, maybe Mary Jo Kopechne's death was worth it.
Yeah, I think it was worth it. I really do.
So that you could have a Senate career?
I think, Phil, if Mary Jo were here, she would say, she would agree with a lot of these writers, and she'd say, I'm glad that I tried to claw my way out of that car and didn't make it, because Ted Kennedy is the senator from Massachusetts. I guess that isn't really all that big of a deal, is it?
No, it isn't. I mean, you didn't even make president.
Well, you got to do something, but
Let's talk about your legacy here for a minute. You were the senator from Massachusetts, and that's, cool, but you weren't president.
I mean, that's cool. Isn't that good enough?
Well, you didn't make it to president, did you? And you didn't even make it to, you were the senator from Massachusetts.
Right. And that ain't cool.
Okay, so you wanted to be president.
Of course I wanted to be president. I ran for president in 1980, didn't I?
Well, what was all that stuff you used to say about, well, that's not me, I don't really want to be president, I'm not John Kennedy, I'm not Robert Kennedy?
Because I wasn't, but everybody kept talking about them and talking about how great they were and talking to me about how wonderful they were. And John Kennedy this, and you're a Kennedy that, and you're a, and I heard this other guy, Matthews, you played this Chris Matthews, saying that I was the third brother and Obama's the fourth brother, and it got to be so nauseating, so absolutely nauseating, that I finally said, okay, if it'll shut some people up, I'll run for president. And what do you think happened? No sooner do I open my mouth and say I'll run for president, and the breath it took to say that escapes my mouth and lungs, I'm out of the race.
Because you did that interview.
Because I did what? Oh, you mean the CBS interview?
Yeah, you did that interview on CBS, and they started asking about Mary Jo Kopechne again.
Right, I'm not going to survive that. But if I'd known better, I would have said what I said today, what that one blogger said, which I think is, you know, Mary Jo died, it's sad, but look what happened to me, see? So,
all right, so I want to be very clear. You believe that the stance is as follows. Mary Jo Kopechne's death was tragic, but it actually turned out okay.
Well, I'm not putting it in quite the way you're putting it.
Well, forgive me, but I don't have your eloquence. How would you put it?
I would put it like this. I would say that Mary Jo, you're okay. I put it the same way you did. Mary Jo died, but it turned out okay because look what I did. And I know that sounds very cavalier. In fact, it may even sound Cleveland cavalier. Oh, okay.
No, not funny.
Oh, okay, thanks. Why, because I'm a Celtic fan?
No, not because it's got nothing to do with anything, Senator. You understand?
By the way, I'm dead now. You don't have to call me Senator.
Well, what do I call you?
What do you mean? You can call me Ted. I'm not a senator anymore.
Well, even after a guy leaves the Senate, he's still a senator.
If he's alive, yeah. You can call me Ted. You can call me Mr. Kennedy. You can call me Corpse Kennedy if you want, or Corporal Kennedy. But just don't call me late for dinner, huh? All right, I'm sorry.
Oh, you know something, man? This discussion here of Mary Jo Kopechne and the fact that maybe she died, her death was a good thing because it heralded your career and spurred you on to great things, I don't really understand the thinking.
You don't?
No, I don't. I don't understand it. I don't understand. I realize you got a lot of notoriety and there was a lot of press, a lot of negative press, too.
There was a hell of a lot of negative press. But there was a lot of polarized press. There was good and bad. So when Mary Jo was found in the car and the windows were rolled up, and because I never could figure that out, she was so the water got in, huh?
Yes, the water got. Did you not take a look at what happened to that girl?
I heard. I'm not reveling in it, Phil, and I'm not making fun. I just didn't know. So when they found her and they realized that she was gone and that I had said what I said, and
were you lying?
About what?
Were you lying about being in shock and you wandered around and you didn't know what you were doing?
Of course I was lying. Of course I was. Oh, I get it. So you're going to stand there in front of the press and you're going to say that you got nervous and scared and decided to leave and hope that your dad or your mom or your older brother could, and both of my older brothers were dead, so I don't know who I was hoping for, but in any event, hope that somebody in the family, like a lawyer or something, can finesse this situation. Yes, that's exactly what I did.
So you did. So you, in other words, you knew she was in that car.
No, that I didn't know. That I didn't know.
Well, wait a minute, man. When you left the car, was she there?
I don't. I'm looking around. Why don't you ask me if I looked around to get my coat and my wallet, too? All I remember is just swimming out of that thing. I've been down this road a million times. I've answered all of these questions. And I think if Mary Jo were here, she would say, you know what? I'm glad that, as a matter of fact, she is here.
Mary Jo Kopechne's there.
Yeah, Mary Jo, come here.
Oh, that's great. So you're going to use her now in death?
Hold on for Mary Jo. How you doing? Good. Hi, Ted Kennedy. Yeah, I know. Phil, here's Mary Jo Kopechne. Hi, Phil.
Mary, Ms. Kopechne, how are you?
I'm good. Look, don't break the guy's castanets. What he did was this. He said to me, you wait here, and he swam. And I was stupid enough to wait here, or wait there. And yeah, that's what I did.
You said, you wait here, huh?
I was in shock, I told you.
I thought you said you were lying.
I was lying about being in shock for 8 hours. I was lying about being in shock when I walked home or whatever I did.
Yeah, yeah, that's it.
Didn't I tell you to wait in the car?
Yes, you did.
And I waited. I turned the radio on.
You turned the radio on while the car's filling with water.
I'm waiting for the guy to come back, yeah. Yeah, so Mary Jo waited, and I went, and I tried to get help. And the next thing I knew, I was in shock. At least that's what I told the reporter.
Mary Jo, do you believe any of that?
What?
The fact that he left and he was in shock, I mean, I know it probably wouldn't have done any good had he gotten anybody there any sooner, but you were in that car. You were drowned.
Yes, yes, yes. I know all of the specifics. I know all the specifics. Now, Teddy did what he did. I did what I did. I stayed and drowned. He got out, claimed he had shock, and went on to become senator from Massachusetts, and everybody, you know, kissing his ass and thinking he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. I want to address this one point, though, Phil, if I could.
About what?
about this claim, what would I think? Do I think it's worth it that I died so that he could have this career? Yeah, what do you think about that? Hold on.
Well, yeah, I'd like to hear the answer.
I would, too.
Ted, just hold on, okay?
Hold on, Ted. No, I don't think it was worth it that I died so that he could have a hot career. And so I'd like to say to that Mary Lasky or whatever that Jew name.
Oh!
They got a little of that, huh? Well, let me tell you something. I'm the one that was in the car drowning. She's the one writing a blog now or whatever that is. And no, I don't think it's worth it. And it would have been nicer had he gotten me out of the car and I lived and he still became senator. That would have been cool. Anybody talking about that?
So in other words, Senator Kennedy... people are saying that you wouldn't have had the career that you had unless a woman died.
Yeah. Well, you think that way, Mary Jo? Yeah, I do. And I wish that it hadn't happened because I would have liked to have lived and I would have liked to have seen you actually gain, you know, good things in your own merit. Well, I was sitting here saying that you're happy that I died. Well, I'm happy you died? I mean, I'm happy that you died. No, I'm happy you died. Well, we're both dead.
All right, look, who's talking to who? Who's talking?
I am.
Well, who are you?
I'm Mary Jo. No, I'm not happy that I died. Yes, I am happy that he's finally dead, so that I don't have to hear any more about him. And am I happy that I died so he could have a career that was so far, far out and groovy? Frankly, I don't know what he did that was all that great. I mean, the one time he ran for president, he got his ass handed to him within weeks. What else? He's the lion of the Senate. What does that mean? I've been around a long time. I'm the lion. Oh, really? Well, growl. I mean, you've been a walking joke more than anything else. Everybody knows that. Now, I know they did wall-to-wall coverage, which for me was kind of a drag because it cut out some of the soccer I was looking at from Italy. I love Italian league soccer, as you know. I know. And I couldn't see any of that. I believe, Phil, this is Mary Jo Kopechne speaking now.
Thank you.
I believe that Ted Kennedy, it would have been better had both of us drowned in the car that day. Had we both drowned in the car that day, then it would have been perfect. It would have been a lover's pact, and maybe we wouldn't have to deal with all of this stuff now. We just both of us have gotten out of the car and wandered down the street and been picked up and taken to a motel where we could have continued making love throughout the night. No one would have found out, just the car in the sink. But the problem is, it happened the way it happened, and Ted Kennedy... Look, I didn't even know who the guy was when I went out with him, so... Oh, yes, you did. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. No, I didn't. Yes, you did.
All right, thank you very much. I think that we've got the essential point here being, Senator Kennedy, that while you may think that it was good she died because you got your career off the ground, she doesn't.
Right. All right, well, I would expect her to have that opinion. Oh, hey, Ted, are you glad you're dead now so people can have wall-to-wall coverage of you on CNN? No, but it's helping CNN. What do you want me to say? Is me croaking helping CNN?
I guess. I don't know what the numbers are watching your funeral. It was real wall-to-wall coverage. It was morning, noon, and night. I don't know how many people watched it.
Well, probably a lot more people than would. So me croaking helps CNN. So, Mary Jo, what do you think? You croaking helping me? That's not a bad thing. Well, you ain't CNN. Well.
All right. Well, I thank both of you for being with me, and I guess the two of you are going to be together to talk about this and hash it out through eternity, I guess, if we're to be perfectly honest. As you'd like to hear them, Ted Kennedy and surprise guest there, Mary Jo Kopechne. Thank you, Mary Jo.
You're welcome.
And thank you, Ted.
You're welcome.
877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with more, including the California, Miss California. She's still screaming and yelling about whether gays ought to be married. I mean, she's getting more mileage out of this. Now she's going to sue over the gay marriage comment. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
So Ted Kennedy wouldn't have been nothing, man, if it hadn't been for Mary Jo Kopechne drowning in that car. It says so right there in the blog written by whoever the hell this is in the Huffington Post. Her name is Melissa Lasky, and she said it, and you just heard Mary Jo Kopechne say it, too. Actually, Ted Kennedy said it. Mary Jo disagreed. I mean, seriously, at least one blog, and maybe more, says the following thing. Maybe Mary Jo would have thought it was worth it, in other words, drowning in the car, to take a look at the career that Senator Kennedy had. People don't understand. This generation, this younger generation of people, don't understand that at one time, Senator Kennedy, Ted Kennedy, was considered to be something of a Kennedy family joke. It was because his older brothers, who I honor and respect in my life, I recall both of those men, and they were both inspiring guys to me, a young kid and eventually a teenager and part-time college student. That's what I like to call myself. A lot of people say back in my college days. I always say back in my part-time college days. Back in my part-time community college days. I did respect, but Ted Kennedy did not really, he didn't inspire anybody back in those days, that's for sure. He wasn't even on the radar. Now, Robert dies, John dies, people suddenly turn, and who do they see? Dun, 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 dun. There's Ted standing there, right? He's a Kennedy, and he's a brother, and he's almost them, but not quite. He's younger, and he's not quite as dynamic, but hey, you know. Now, I know he's a good man, or was, and I know that he authored a lot of bills. I understand that. I'm not taking away from who he was and what he did. I just don't think it was as much as many would have you believe. And I think if you look at the record, the impact of Ted Kennedy, it doesn't mean that much, folks, when bills are passed that you authored or helped author. Some of those bills may not be all that good. Some may be quite groundbreaking and beneficial for the people of Massachusetts and beyond. And some may have neither good nor bad qualities. They're just sort of there, you know, and are eventually preempted or replaced by some other bill or some other program or some other way of doing things. Yes, he became more and more a better orator. He was a much, much better public speaker later in life than he was as a younger man. As a younger man, he was rather tentative. As a younger man, he was well-spoken, and he had a good style about him. He was intelligent. He could turn a phrase. He was good at the joke-making. But he wasn't that firebrand that we all recall from the recent conventions that we saw him speak at. He wasn't the firebrand there on the floor of the Senate. With age and with that respect that age often garners, he gained confidence and was a philosopher. He was a spokesperson for a point of view, for a liberal point of view that he very early on embraced. But I think, and I'm saying this not because, and again, when you listen to the show, folks, I don't say this because I don't dig Democrats. I respected his brothers immensely. But when you're talking about a guy who is very, very far removed from two real giants, I think, in John and Robert Kennedy, his last name is Kennedy, and people wanted him to be every bit as potent and historic as his brothers, and people wanted him to run for president, and he kept declining the opportunity and the invitation. I don't know the reason for that specifically. Some people said it was at the request of his mother. It was at the request of other members of the family. They didn't want to see him wind up the way his brothers did. Some people didn't want him to go through the kind of spotlight that the run for the presidency had put his brothers through and that the actual office put one of his brothers through. Some people didn't want to see the Kennedy family again indicted as this royalty, often seeking the White House, often seeking this kind of political power. There were a lot of different reasons that were given. But Ted Kennedy was a very, very reluctant Kennedy. He was a reluctant Kennedy in the mold of a John or Robert. He didn't want to be in the spotlight the way those two guys were. He didn't want to be president. He didn't want anything having to do with the federal government. If you want to get right down to it, he's perfectly happy being senator from Massachusetts. Finally, in 1980, when he saw the job that Carter had done and he realized Carter was not going to get reelected and Carter was a disaster as a president and he knew that the Democrats stood to lose a great deal with a Republican presidency 4 years after the last one, he threw his hat into the ring. And guess what? They threw it back. All right, it ain't that funny. Former Miss California USA Carrie Prejean has sued beauty pageant organizers, claiming she was wrongfully fired for saying marriage should be only between a man and a woman, her lawyer said on Monday. 2 months after her controversial statement at the Miss USA pageant in April, organizers fired Prejean, saying she broke her contract by failing to make appearances on their behalf. They're saying she was fired because she said bad stuff about gay marriage. Prejean's attorney, Charles Lamandry, said pageant officials based the decision to terminate her contract on invitations Prejean received for events she was never required to attend. There was a strained relationship, and it became that way when she gave that answer and would not back off of it. That's what this is really about. So while the pageant says that she got canned because she did not fulfill contractual obligations, the attorney is saying that they were leaning on her and leaning on her pretty heavy because she made comments that were embarrassing to the pageant. I would have to say that I back up the pageant on this one. While it's convenient for her to articulate some sour grapes about having said what she said, and Perez Hilton was allowed to get away with murder because he's just a clown anyway. You might as well have had, you might as well have had Reverend Manning there or Reverend Stevenson yelling about Obama getting brain cancer for all the good it was doing. Anyway, here was that fateful moment from the Miss California, Miss USA, Miss something or other last April when Perez Hilton opened his big fat mouth.
Vermont recently became the fourth state to legalize same-sex marriage. Do you think every state should follow suit? Why or why not?
Well, I think it's great that Americans are able to choose one or the other. We live in a land that you can choose same-sex marriage or opposite marriage.
Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah.
In my country,
right.
And in my...
All right, anyway, you know what she said. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Thank you.
Phil Henry.